Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. When this pandemic finally ends, which live event are you most looking forward to attending? I'm going to go ahead and guess for all of us, the number one live event that we cannot wait to attend again is a Sunday here at Epic Church. I mean, guys, I don't know about you, but 46 weeks into this now, and who knows when that day is going to come. I'm doing an exercise every single week, just a visioning exercise where I'm imagining this room being full. I'm imagining the lobby buzzing. It's children as well as people in their 70s and everyone in between. I imagine us singing our hearts out in worship unlike we've ever done before and just having the presence of God visit us, though He's doing it right now, visit us while we are inhabiting the same space. I cannot wait for that. So maybe I should ask, what is the second live event you're most looking forward to attending? Is it a Warriors game when all this is said and done? Is it the opera or the ballet or a Giants game or a concert? I want you to imagine that for you, the live event, when all this is said and done, that you are attending is a Broadway show here in San Francisco. I want you to picture yourself. You have a special someone with you. You have had an incredible dinner because indoor dining is back open again. You've paid good money for your seats. You walk into the Orpheum Theater, not far from Epic Church. You and your special someone take your seat. You're so excited about this performance. And yet when the production begins, from the beginning all the way till the end, whoever's operating the spotlight keeps the spotlight on a less significant character the entire time and never puts the spotlight on the actual hero of the show. If that were to happen to you, you would be enraged. You would want your money back. You would say, I can't believe that person is such a fill in the blank. And yet, how many of us in our lives are on a trajectory of living from the beginning of our life to the very end of our lives, keeping the spotlight focused on a less significant character and never quite getting it over to who the one who's supposed to be the hero of our story? I'm gonna ask you this question as we get going in a message that I'm super passionate about today. Here's the question. What are you making your life all about? What are you making your life all about? Is it all about your success, all about your wealth, all about your career, your happiness, your status, your influence? Every single person watching right now, including the guy who's speaking on stage, we are all tempted to make our lives about ourselves. But here's the thing, and I want you to catch this. If you make your life all about you, you will miss what God wants your life to be all about. If you and I, if we make our lives all about us, we're going to miss what God wants our lives to actually be all about. So if we're going to prepare the way for all that God wants to do in us and all that God wants to do through us, here's something we must do over and over and over again. Shift the spotlight. Shift the spotlight. This is the title of my message for today. And if you and I can figure out how to do this, and we'll be tempted to keep it on ourselves, but if we can get it onto the right hero of the story that we're living in and trying to live out, we will be living and stepping into God's intention for our lives. Shift the spotlight. Today, we're going to learn from someone who really knew what it meant to shift the spotlight, even when other people didn't want him to. The person we're going to look at today, he could have made his life all about himself. In fact, as you'll see in just a few minutes, he was encouraged by his friends and followers to make his life all about him. And yet, he wanted to live for something else. He wanted to live for someone else. And listen, as he chose to live for someone else rather than himself, this didn't make him sad or jealous. He didn't feel like he was missing out on something. Isn't it interesting in his world and still in our world today that people tell us, if you want more joy, make your life all about you? I'm not sure how it's worked in your experience, but for me, anytime I try to make myself the hero of my story, it doesn't bring joy to my life. It actually evaporates joy from my life. Anybody else? But the world just keeps saying, make it about you, do what you want to do, take care of yourself, don't worry about anybody else. And the more I keep the spotlight on Ben Pilgreen, the more I miss out on the joy that could be mine if I would shift the spotlight to the one who's the hero, or supposed to be at least the hero, of my story and your story as well. Today, we're going to talk about John the Baptist. I want you to understand how he shows us how we can begin to shift the spotlight from ourselves to the one who's called to be the hero of our story. And I want to begin in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. After John the Baptist was born, his father Zechariah prophesied these words over him. Listen, and you, my child, he's holding his son, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. How incredible that he had this job description, prepare the way for the Lord. So when I knew we were going to launch 2021 with this Prepare the Way series, I was sure that I had to do a message on John the Baptist. I mean, his job description literally was prepare the way for Jesus. Now, what a cool and unique calling that he had on his life, very specific, but I believe with all of my heart for everyone watching right now that you and I have been given the exact same general purpose for our lives, to make room, to prepare the way for more of Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you two texts in the book of John to let you know who John the Baptist was. The book of John is not authored by John the Baptist. The Gospel of John is written by John, who's one of the 12 disciples, who along with his brother James and Peter, they made up the three people who were part of the inner circle in Jesus's life. This is John who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And John's going to tell us some things, starting in chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, if you have that or you can see it on the screen. John 1, 6 through 8, here's what John says about John the Baptist. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. Listen, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So here's what the gospel writer John is telling us about John the Baptist. He was sent by God to do something specific. And I want you to know, not only is this true for John the Baptist, not only was it true for Martin Luther King Jr., but it is true for me and it is true for you. You and I, we have a sending God. God sends people just like you and me into the world to specific places at specific times to do specific things. And I just gotta keep asking you this. Are you in the place doing the thing that God has sent you here to do? He sent John the Baptist ahead of Jesus to prepare the way so that what? So that all might believe in him, that all might see Jesus and put their faith in Jesus. And whatever your calling is, know that it ends there, so that all might see him and put their faith in him. All of the people on your street, all of the people in your family, all of the people at your work, and all of the people in our city, God is still sending us to specific places at specific times to do specific things so that all might believe through him. That's one way that we shift the spotlight. Now, I've been fascinated to understand John the Baptist's whole mantra. A lot of people in life talk about what we are, but most people don't talk about what they are not. But when you get to John the Baptist, he really has this grasp on who he is and who he isn't. So even in these words in verse 8, he was not the light. He knows he's not the light, but he's come to bear witness to the light. Isn't it interesting that so many of us in the world, we don't want to play a part in the story unless we are the hero of that story? But John the Baptist was cool. He was like, you know what? I don't have to be the light. I'm just going to be a witness to the light. And what I love about this is that he's like, I don't have to be the hero of the story. I can be a witness to the one who is the hero of the story. Anybody else, if you can't be the main idea, you don't want to be an idea at all? Whenever I was in college, I applied to be the president of our campus ministry organization. And I remember getting a call from the director. The director said to me on the phone, Ben, we're going with someone else for president, but we want you to be the vice president. I was like, no. President or nothing for me. Now, it was okay because I felt compelled to have that position and didn't feel called to be a part of the vice president position. But here's what we have to know. You are not the main character in God's story, but you have been given a significant part to play in his story. You're not the main character. John the Baptist, even Martin Luther King, he's not the main story. The main character in the story, but he was given, John the Baptist was, Martin Luther King was, I have been given, and you have been given a significant part to play. But should we clamor for the lead role? Should we want to grasp this position of being the hero of our story? Then it's going to go wrong because there's another hero over the entire universe, and we are called to be a witness to the light, but not to be the light. Jesus will take that role. So here's what I want to do. I want to go to John chapter 3, and I want to spend the rest of our time here because there is so much gold in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30, I'll read it to you. I want to make some comments about 22 through 26, and then there's so many rich things John gives us in verses 27 through 30. So in verse 22, here's what we read. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this, John replied, a person can receive only what he is given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not, there it is again, I'm not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. Lean in and listen. There's some profound truths that I've discovered over the preparation phase of getting ready to teach this message. John's disciples are saying to him, John, the attention, the spotlight, it used to be on you. Like you were the baptizer. That's going to be your name that you're known by. You are the baptizer. And all the attention was on you, but now you've got competition. And everyone's going to that man being Jesus. And in this moment, John has to answer a question that I think all of us have to answer at some point. And I want you to wrestle with this question right now. What is my life really going to be all about? Right, John was fine to play that role, but when his followers said, hey, John, the spotlight's no longer on you. It's shifting. It's now going towards Jesus. How are you going to answer the question, John? What do you want your life to really be all about? I put that word really in the question because I want you to not just run past that question and answer it quickly. What are you really going to make your life all about? What are you really going to make your life all about? Listen, it is easy for me and all of us to articulate the vision here at Epic Church. Say it at home out loud or I'll be listening. The vision of Epic Church is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. That is easy to say, it is more difficult to do. Would you agree? And the reason it's mostly more difficult to do is this. I cannot orient my entire life around Jesus if I'm orienting my entire life around me. Same is true for you. And it will continue to be, I promise you, it will continue to be the great temptation of our lives to make our lives all about us. And John goes on and he simply says this. He says, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. But before he gets there, I love this line in 27. He says, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You need to really learn this one. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. Listen, really important. John the Baptist did not have low self-esteem. John the Baptist would not have told you, well, I don't have a very important role in the kingdom. But John the Baptist, while being so content to play his part, he was also content with what God did not have for him to play. I know that you're pretty invested, and I'm pretty invested in trying to play the part that God has sent us here to this earth to play. But we need to also be locked in on the reality that we should not overstep the boundaries that God has given us. We should not step into the part that God has not given us to play. John the Baptist, I love this about him. He was content with what God had for him, and he was content with what God did not have for him. Let me ask you this, and you please talk this over with a friend, a spouse, a parent, a child. Here's the question. Are you content with what God has given you and with what he hasn't given you? Am I, as a pastor of Epic Church, can I be content to go, hey guys, let's lean into everything God has given us? And can I also be content going, but God didn't give that to us over there. Ben, stay in your lane. Because I wonder if we would grow in our contentment. Here's what's happening for so many of us. So many people are wanting to go beyond what God has for them. And so many other people aren't even stepping into what God does have for them. Which side of that do you lean on? Are you like, I'm not even going to step into what God has for me? Or you're like, no, I'll do what God has for me and I'll do what I have for me. But I love this from John the Baptist. He was content with what God had for him and what he didn't have for him. And as I just mentioned, then he's like, listen, I'm not the Messiah. Again, fascinating. You're going to see from John the Baptist, I am not this, I am not this, I am not that, but I am this. And he says this, I'm not the Messiah. I was merely sent ahead to prepare the way for the Messiah. Now, I assume if I were to ask you in the room, the three of you that are in here, just kidding, there's like five of us. If I were to ask you in the room, or especially all of you at home, if I were to say, hey, do you think you're the Messiah? Everyone would say, no, of course not. I mean, I assume you don't have the word Messiah in your bio on Instagram. I'm assuming, please, if you do go to a different church, I'm assuming that you don't have the word Messiah in your LinkedIn profile. But let me ask you this. Even if you don't use the word Messiah, but you make yourself out to be the most important being in the universe, doesn't that make you God? Are you content not being the hero? Are you content not being the light? Are you content not being the Messiah? And then here's a principle that many of you aren't going to believe, but if you'll hang with it and embrace it and experiment with it, you'll discover that it's true. The most joy-filled life is one that is all about Jesus. The most joy-filled life is one that is all about Jesus. Maybe my most excited verse to expound on tonight is verse 29. There is this beautiful imagery that John the Baptist gives us. And essentially what he's saying to understand what he's expressing here is he's like, pretend it's a wedding day. And on a wedding day, everyone who's at the wedding, the photographer knows this, the family should know this, the friends should know this, everyone, the caterer knows this. The main idea, the heroes of a wedding are the groom and the bride. And some of you guys are going, no, Ben, it's just the bride. But let's just assume that the heroes of the day, a big wedding day, are the groom and the bride. And John the Baptist says this. I love it. He's like, I'm just the friend of the groom. I love this. And he's going, I'm not jealous. of Jesus being the show in town. I'm not jealous of the light of the world not being me. I'm not jealous that he's the Messiah and I'm just his cousin. I'm not jealous that I had a part to play, but I didn't get to play his part. I love this. He's like, listen, I am the friend of the groom. Do you know what a friend of the groom does? Weddings were very different back then than they are today, but you can imagine a true friend of the groom does whatever it takes to keep the attention on the groom and do whatever the groom asks them to do. Can you and I become content with just being a friend of the groom? I just love this verse. It has come alive in my own heart. I was telling Will just before we started recording tonight, I love this. Listen, the bride belongs to the bridegroom, meaning what? John the Baptist isn't trying to say, all of these people are mine. Listen, John the Baptist didn't have any people. You don't have any people. I don't have any people. God has people, and he's asking us to shift the spotlight, and he says this, the friend who attends the bridegroom, listen, he waits and listens for him. He's not demanding his way. He's not demanding his plan. He's not demanding the attention be on him. He waits for the groom. And listen, he's full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. Now, as I studied, maybe you should cover the youngster's ears, but as I studied, the friend of the bridegroom commentator said there's all kinds of things they could have done. Even, red face here, time to blush, even it could have been that in Jewish culture, the friend of the groom would have been the one to go back and report to the wedding party that that new wedding or that new marriage had been consummated. I'll just leave that there. We're talking about consecration. That's a different C word than what I just said. But let's move on. But nonetheless, the friend of the groom would have done whatever it took to keep the focus on the couple. And listen to what John the Baptist says. See, some of us are so jealous when we compare our life to someone else's. Some of us, if we're just honest, we wish we were a bigger hero in the world than even Jesus is in the world. But John the Baptist says, no, I'm good with this. Not only am I okay with it, I rejoice over it. I love my part. I love that I'm just a friend of the groom. And I wonder, church, what would happen in the world? What would happen in our congregation? What would happen in our city if you and I would just go, no, I'm not trying to be the big idea here. I don't need to be the main character, the hero. I just want to be a friend of the groom. If you can't get passionate about embracing that, ask God to stir your heart towards it. And then John gives us this equation in verse 30. Jesus is greater than me. Jesus is greater than me. Now listen to this so you hear really clearly. Remember, he doesn't have low self-esteem. You see, when we say Jesus is greater or more of Jesus, less of me, that does not at all mean that you and I need to feel less than. I mean, you guys tell me, how can you feel less than, if you're saying more of Jesus, less of me, than the one that we're making the most of and making more and saying he's greater, when the one who's greater gave his entire life up for us? Nobody needs to feel less than. But more of Jesus flowing into our lives. And so we get to this place where we've got to really answer these kinds of questions. I want to rifle through them and I want them to stir in your heart. So what's it going to be, his way or your way? His will or your will, his future or your future, his purpose or your purpose, his plans or your plans, his timing or your timing, his fame or your fame, his glory, are you going to still keep making it about yours? Everybody says, make it all about you and you will have happiness and you will experience joy. And I want you to know, no, you will not, because you are destined for a different kind of life. I love this from the psalmist. In Psalm 115, verse 1, he just says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Could you just begin praying that as you shift the spotlight? No, friend of the groom, I'm not the light. I'm not the Messiah. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name. Could there be a name you and I would begin to care most about beyond our own? Some of us fear that if we go all in with God, if we're just like, okay, I'll shift the spotlight, that somehow you're going to lose yourself. That somehow you're like, Ben, I don't even know if we're going to survive COVID. How can I literally surrender and give my life to him? How can I shift the spotlight where it's all about him? I could encourage you with a lot of words, but I'm going to go back to something that's impacted me profoundly. And these are the last sentences from Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Listen up. He writes these words, if you're afraid of that idea, give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions, being the hero, and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. You look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ. Look for Christ. Shift the spotlight. And you will find him. And with him, everything else thrown in. It's not easy, but it is worth it. When I think about the life of John the Baptist, when I think about what you and I are going to make our lives really all about, it's hard, especially on this weekend, not to think of Martin Luther King Jr. And again, he is known all around the world. But he's not known all around the world because he was trying to focus the spotlight on himself. He's known all around the world because he tried to put the spotlight on God. Read about his call to ministry. Incredible. And he also tried to put a spotlight not only on God's heart, but what was happening in reality that was so far from God's heart. And I love that he gave himself. And you're like, Ben, I'm not Martin. Listen, you might not be John the Baptist. You might not be Martin Luther King Jr. And please don't be Ben Pilgrim. But you have been sent by God to the world, specific place, specific time, to do specific things. And if you will shift the spotlight, you will be amazed at how God will use your life just like he used Martin Luther King Jr.'s life. Let me give you a prayer from him that I want you to adopt. I want to adopt this. Listen, I want my kids to embrace this. I want everyone. Listen to this prayer from him. He said this, use me, God. Show me how to take who I am and what I can do and who I want to be and what I can do and use it for a purpose greater than myself. Just say that prayer. Whisper it under your breath. Say it out loud. Use me, God. Take who I am and who I want to be and what I can do, and use me for a purpose greater than myself. What's your life going to be all about? Really? I'm not immune to the challenges that all of you are living through right now, in case you thought I was. But I have determined and had to re-up my commitment this week that I'm all in with whatever God wants to do with my life. I'm decided. I'm willing to pay a price. I'm willing to stick it out. I'm willing to keep shifting the spotlight. I know I won't always get it right, but I intend to give my life to the Lord, to his call as a husband, a father, and the pastor of this church to keep shifting the spotlight. What if we all began to shift the spotlight on the one who's worthy of being the hero of the story? And if you've never kind of taken the spotlight off yourself like ever, but you want to do that today, let me just give you some words. Jesus, I give you my life, and I want to use my life to put the spotlight on you. If you sincerely mean that, you become a part of the family of God, and he will use that prayer. And for all of us, even if we are Christians, could we just recommit ourselves with that prayer? Jesus, I give you my life, and I want to use my life. God, whatever it is, if it's a big ministry or if it shrinks, God, if it is through suffering or it is through celebration, God, if it's in public or when no one else is watching, I want to use my life to put the spotlight on you. Who's with me? I want to pray for you, but I want to give you a little bit of space to just pray. I'm going to just ask you some provoking questions and just have you wrestle in prayer through that. So if you just take a posture of prayer, whatever that looks like for you. First question is this. Being honest just before yourself and God, what do you really want your life to be all about? What do you really want your life to be all about? And then what is an area of your life where you need to shift the spotlight? Maybe you're taking credit where the credit belongs to God. maybe you're working only in your own strength and you're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Maybe for you, you just keep the spotlight on all the negativity in our world, and that is real. But God's saying, hey, why don't you look to my promises? There's more than just what you see with your eyes. Maybe that's the spotlight shift that needs to happen in your life. And would you just take the posture of John the Baptist and so many others? Would you be content not being the light, but testifying to the light? Would you be content not being the Messiah, but making way in your world so that others can see the Messiah? And could we be content just to be a friend of our worthy groom? Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you've spoken today. I thank you that you have shifted the spotlight, at least for what we need to hear and receive today. And could we no longer be content to keep the spotlight on a significant but less significant character, namely ourselves? Instead, could we shift it to you? Help us to see you. And in and through our lives, help others to see you. We really do want to be a church that orients our entire lives around you, Jesus. Where we're out of alignment individually or collectively, would you show us that? And as wholeheartedly as we know how to, we once again say afresh today, even 10 plus months into this pandemic, use us for a purpose greater than ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.